The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
But I felt like I had been locked into a prison cell of shame and regret.
Coming up, television hosts and conference speakers Bob and Audrey Meisner describe how a devastating mistake led to the marriage of their dreams.
And so we want to live the clean life now again. God, I'm going to prove to you, you know, I'm not going to mess up this time. But you see, there's a difference between being clean and being free.
Like yourself, love your life. Next.
Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And we have a couple that are quite miraculous. You've got a situation here where Christian couple, and for whatever reason, the woman slipped, had a relationship, and of all things, found herself pregnant. Then talks to her husband. You're going to hear about the journey. We actually had the opportunity of talking to this remarkable couple and a man that extended as much grace as you could ever witness. And you're going to hear the consideration that the woman had to terminate the child. Desperation, even though last thing she believed in, she's desperate. And the husband insisted not only that he offer grace and forgiveness, but they have the child and they adopt it and give that child his name to join with their other three beautiful children. I want you to welcome Bob and Audrey Meisner back to life today. Would you?
Thank you so much.
You were remarkable, in my opinion, Bob, to be able to extend, just real briefly, how in the world were you able to forgive, restore, and love something that came from a relationship that was totally inappropriate,
right,
and make that precious child, and I just almost started crying.
I know.
Because I was nearly aborted. But how did it happen to have that grace?
And again, it's a journey. It's nothing that's short or immediate. You know, it's not something that happens in the moment, but it's a process. And so what you're looking for is something that is far greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. You're facing a life situation, you know, that is life-altering, you know, for your marriage, mm-hmm. for your family. I mean, this could forever, if you choose, mm-hmm. be your defining moment. Mm-hmm. But I refuse to allow circumstances to determine and dictate our life. What I wanted to know was the realities of God, the things that you talk about, the things that we preach about. I really wanted to know the extravagance of my Father's love and His grace, because I knew that this little baby, you know, that was, you know, the byproduct, okay, of a sexual affair. But you see, the thing is that this little baby's innocent. Mm-hmm. You see, he's not the result of a sexual affair. You know, he's not an accident. He's not a mistake. But he's born out of the heart of God and given to us. Mm. So I knew that it was necessary for me to experience my Father's love so that I could be a father that loves.
Wow.
You see, and so as I get free, then I'm transformed and I get to experience, and it becomes my reality rather than just something that you talk about.
Right.
And so God heals and restores, but we wanted to live it out. I didn't want it just to be something that was, you know, fictional or just a good sermon or something that you would read in your Bible. But can the realities of God truly be yours? Can Christ in you be that hope, that confidence, that assurance, you know, that knowing that His realities will become yours? That's glorious.
And you had to be I think, amazed at that grace.
As I was sitting here, I was going, oh my gosh, am I ever thankful for this man? I am so thankful for this man and for his grace and his mercy.
And you did see the love he's talking about.
Oh, God's absolutely,
love.
Absolutely.
It was bigger than him, as much as you loved him, yes, and appreciated him.
And God's love is so undeserving to us, right? And it was so undeserved. You know, because here I am. I still remember the moment coming out of that doctor's office, as you can imagine. I had told him, you know, here I am. I'm walking out of this doctor's office, just found out I was pregnant. The baby's biracial, will not look like the other kids. I'm now going to be known for that most stupid, selfish choice I ever made. I had just told him 2 weeks as soon as the affair ended. I said, Bob, I'm done with that. I want you. I want our marriage. And we thought we were going to be okay. But then this news comes of this baby. And I remember thinking, I might be forever defined by this moment and disqualified, victim, you know, of my mistake, my regret.
You had to feel unworthy. There had to be some shame.
And I sit here today thinking, you know, I kind of think like when Jesus died, he left an inheritance for us. And I feel like sometimes we have all these presents. Like if we're co-heirs with him, we have all these presents in front of us. And, you know, we take a lifetime to open them all. But the best gift I ever opened is his righteousness. Like it never was mine. I opened this gift that Jesus died for my sin and my shame, but he gave me the gift of his righteousness. And I'm so amazed with how beautiful his righteousness is that when I'm consumed with that, then I naturally don't even want to get drawn to sin. You realize how sin is such a painful, awful thing that you're just amazed with him and his. And he says our righteousness is like filthy rags anyway, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, who was it for us to think that we can work our way out of this stuff?
And what we try to do then is work diligently to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
I've made the mess.
Yeah,
now I'm going to clean
right.
it up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to live the clean life now again. God, I'm going to prove to you, you know, I'm not going to mess up this time.
Yeah.
But you see, there's a difference between being clean and being free.
Yeah.
You see, and that's what we wanted in our relationship.
Yeah.
Although we had the best marriage imaginable for 17 years, it brought us to this point. Therefore, you can't just go back trying to retrieve or regain what was, because what was brought you to this place. Therefore, with God, there's all kinds of new hope because he's got a new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's got something new for us, never seen
yes.
before.
Yeah.
So would we allow God to ignite hope in our heart and give us vision for what is yet ahead so that the past does not have to continue to dictate and determine your future? But would we be able to embrace the truth of God that we might experience his grace unto knowing what his righteousness looks like, to know what it is to be full of joy and to really be free.
Yes.
For he whom,
yes.
you know, is set free is free indeed. Stand
yes.
firm in that liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't want to just exist, survive, get by, and be okay with each other. We wanted the realities of God to be ours.
Well, and to do that, you had to start really with forgiveness. You had to forgive her, but you had to forgive yourself.
I really did.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was, because, you know, when I'm going to tell you right here, and you mentioned it when you started the show, 3 days after that doctor's appointment, I was alone in my kitchen, and I was on the phone, and I called the abortion clinic. Nobody knew I was going to do it. And I called them and I said, you know, told them my situation. And they said, oh, don't worry about it. You just have to take 10 pills. We'll send them to you anonymously in the mail. Just take 10 pills, one a week. And after 10 weeks, your problem will be gone. And I fell to the floor and I said, Jesus, I know. I mean, I'm a Jesus girl all my life. You know, I know better, like what you said. And I fell on the floor and I said, Jesus, I know this not's your answer. But God, and I remember the specific words, if you love me, you will take this from me. And I begged God for a miscarriage. And I think of that now. And the reason I start to get choked up is because I think, don't we always have a great idea for how he could answer our prayers, right? Like, I mean, is it not bad enough that I want to control my husband?
You got yourself in a bad situation.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, as a woman, I have to fight not controlling my husband and my kids, but I want to control him too. Like, I've got this perfect plan.
Yes, she
does. Yeah.
Yes, she does.
Thanks for the verification. Just confirm
that. Just every now and then.
Yeah, just every now and then.
Just every now and then.
Close to qualified. Right?
Yeah. So I'm saying, God, you know, if you love me, you'll take this from me. But you see, in essence, what I was praying is, God, evacuate me out of my circumstances. And I think that's what we want to do. But I sit here today and the tears come because I say, because God loved me, he didn't answer that prayer. And he said, Audrey, I'm not going to evacuate you out. But girl, I am going to walk you through every moment of that prayer, every month, every, you know, month by month, moment by moment. I'm going to be with you, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil, for I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to be with you in your pain. You're going to know me like you've never known me before. When you come out the other side, you're never the same. You come out with authority and you come out with passion. But then came the journey of what you asked me, Betty, about was liking myself again or forgiving myself. That was it. That was tough.
And that actually led to this publication. And there's a beautiful smile of someone that looks like the smile of a soul and a heart and a life set free. And the title is Like Yourself, Love Your Life, Overcome Big Mistakes, and Celebrate True Beauty, which she didn't feel beautiful in any way.
No way.
What she found out was the real beauty was the Lord Jesus and His righteousness, which they both already alluded to and referred to. And it's not by works of righteousness. It's not by what we've done, what He does and what He does in us. And the joy that you see in that smile and the countenance that you see here with a couple, it's both of them. You know, it's not like, well, we're going to watch the other one endure and we're going to be okay. No, they've got the song of the soul set free. The book is available, and it's in the bookstores. I want to ask you this, though. You are interested in helping couples.
I
mean, you could go as an author and a speaker, and you've done a lot of women's conferences and so forth, but you really feel like that you both are called together. So if people wanted you to come to their community or their church where they would really get behind it and get people there that need to know they can be better than okay, how would they go online or where would they find you?
Yeah, they can visit our website, mynewday.tv, and they can find us there, because this was a journey that we did together. You know, I
definitely.
It wasn't something apart, but I had to, because I wanted my wife to be free. You know, we don't want to just, you know, again, get through this, but that meant, because what we can so easily do is fall back into old patterns, old lifestyle, things that are familiar. But you see, people hold a dream in their heart. They have a dream for their marriage, for their family, for a future, but they're unwilling to risk what's familiar and comfortable in their life to begin to venture out and allow the realities of God to become theirs. So we had to be able to create space for one another to begin to experience their journey to wholeness. And that's what this book is about,
because
for Audrey.
Go ahead.
You were dealing with shame, right?
Let me describe it like this. I was thinking about this. Last week I was a walk, and I knew I was going to come and meet you guys, and I love you guys so much.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, we're really excited for you guys. But I was walking, and I had this, I said, what did it really, it felt like for those months and years, people all knew what I had done, but I felt like I had been locked into a prison cell of shame and regret, to the point where it was clanged shut, this huge lock, and someone had thrown away the key. And yeah, I might be a Jesus girl, but I'm going to live a life sentence of knowing, everybody knowing the stupid and selfish
She's
thing
that
I
girl.
Did.
She's
There's
that
the girl. She calls herself
that.
A Jesus
she
girl. She's laughing. What is that about? Like, she should be paying for what she did. And I could have stuck a disqualified victim the rest of my life.
Well,
but
you know,
that did not happen.
I'm telling you, and I referred to this earlier, there are people watching us all over the world right now who have disqualified yourself. You haven't been disqualified. You've disqualified yourself over what, in light of this, would seem very trivial. But it's big, because it's caused you to get shame. And then a lot of times, if you talk to religious people, they seem to heap more blame and shame on with it. But not God. Or how did you find out He wasn't and get
past it? This is the best part. This is the best part of the whole show, because the fact is, there is so much hope, and I just feel like, can you tell, I want to shout it from the housetop, that if Jesus can do this for me, He can do it for you, where He not only opened that prison door where I was able to see myself the way He sees me, not the way everyone else or even myself. When I came into agreement with how Jesus feels about me, His daughter, His precious, precious princess, purchased with a life. He took a bullet for me and said, I'm going to pay for you, girl, so you can be so full of joy and life. This death is not going to hold you down. You rose with me, and I am going to set you free. So just start by visualizing yourself completely robed in the righteousness. See yourself the way I see you, and then start walking and start facing all the hidden fears, all the lies that I believed all these years. Be willing to face the, you know, this tough stuff, because I've had an interesting response to this book. It's actually surprised me, because it's kind of a fun, unfiltered book. You know, I get a little edgy because I just want to have fun with people. Like, to be honest, that's a really high priority for me, anyone that knows me, because I just love how God created laughter, and He wanted to, enemy wanted to steal that away from me for the rest of my life. And it's contagious when you have the joy of the Lord, and it is our strength. That is such a resource. And I think back of how that was stolen from me. But the interesting thing about the response to this book is. It's fun and it's unfiltered, but it's for the courageous. It's for that woman who is tired, weary, exhausted, and is in that prison hoping that if she jumps it through enough hoops and does enough right things and does all the right things, maybe one day someone will open that prison door while she walks through. But yet it's a supernatural experience where she'll just see her. The real her is the one that Jesus created to laugh and dance over and delight in and to be free to love and smile and see the smile of God. If everyone could just see that God's not mad at you, he's smiling at you and he says, you no matter how tired you are, the real you is in there. And don't give up. Find that how I feel about you. See, that's what Jesus is saying. And I want that message to be so real. And you know, as girls, I'm going to tell you something about girls, okay? I know you're married to Betty. You probably figured this out. We are so hard on ourselves. You have no idea what kind of self-talk goes on in here. I am so nice to everybody. I would never say a mean word to you in your life. But I say mean stuff to myself. I look in the mirror and go, oh my gosh, girl, you have eaten too much bread. You like sugar way too much, and you put butter on that bread, and it tastes good, and it's warm. And I feel so much comfort by my bread.
It ain't just girls. Saying
okay.
That,
girl. And you anyway, know, no,
really
I'm just
right.
telling
it's
you things. I would never tell Betty she ate too much bread. Of course, she looks awesome. She obviously doesn't eat too much bread.
All right, I want you okay. to tell us this.
Okay.
How's that boy?
Oh, okay. You want to talk about something fun? I want you to meet him one day. Because there's something special about him. Because there's something, when you were talking today, when you opened the show and you said you were almost divorced, I said, I want you to meet Robert one day.
Yeah.
He actually reminds me of you a little bit.
We're showing everybody a picture of the whole
okay,
family.
Okay, good.
And it's quite a beautiful family.
He's 11 years old. He's finishing the fifth grade, and he's just awesome.
He's a nutcake.
His middle name, his first name is Robert, mine, because I don't want him ever to question or wonder one day in his life whose boy he is. The middle name is Theodore, which is divine gift.
Yes.
Because he's not an accident. Mm-mm. He's not a mistake.
Oh, he said there's so much
you
fun
see?
And laughter.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll tell you another thing. At the bus stop, when they meet me and they say, how come that boy's dark? And I'll say, oh, have I got a story for you? And then I say, you know, in one second I said, it has a happy ending, but I had an affair and I got pregnant, but my husband gave him his name because God is real. And they walk away going, I'll give you something to talk about. You know, like, she's like, who is that woman? It's like, you know what?
Yeah. There's TMI, no shame. Too much information
right here. You know what? There's
right
no shame attached. You know. How can I do that and be that and not have the shame attached? That's nuts. That's
that
not real.
God.
That's supernatural.
Right. Do you appreciate this couple?
Ooh.
Do you appreciate the great God?
That's only Jesus.
The one that took the shame and took the blame. And I mean, this is real, and this is the beauty of God. The book is in the bookstores, and there is the website where you can say, hey, I'd like to have this joy come to our town, and I'd like for our couples to hear it, because most couples just hang in there and let the rough end drag, and it ain't much fun. And that just ain't a good deal. It's just not the way we're supposed to live. So I just praise God for you. I love you both, and I thank you for so effectively sharing about the grace of God and His power and His love. I want to show all of our viewers something that I know you like. And all I have to do is pick up a little shoe like this, and you think about a little foot going in that. A lot of us, we've got some of our shoes of our children, and you know what? People bronze them and keep them, and you should. They are precious. These little feet that will get the shoe like this, and this particular shoe, they, in most instances, never had a shoe. And they'll grow up to be bigger children that didn't have shoes. And we started a few years ago giving Christmas shoes and smiles. And we start way ahead to do it because in order to get it and get the 200,000 pairs of shoes, and I wish we could go beyond that, and that depends on you, because $36 will give 10 kids shoes. I want you to listen to one of our missionary partners. I want you to listen to Tammy and look at these beautiful children and then think about them all over the world. Would you give them some shoes? Watch this.
Something that we take so for granted is wearing a pair of shoes every day. I don't think any one of us watching this right now is without a pair of shoes, but the reality is that there are hundreds of children around me at this moment that have no shoes. And I love Life Outreach for so many reasons, not just Water for Life or Rescue for Life or the food programs, but even bringing shoes to little ones. Listen, without it, they are in danger every single day. The simple things that we think about, like even just cutting your feet, walking in water that is diseased and full of bacteria, getting into a cut. I mean, they could literally lose their life. What a privilege we have to bring them a pair of shoes. Every one of these little ones is going to get a pair of shoes today. What I love is that this simple pair of shoes has become a treasure to this little girl. I love that she's holding on to it like it's the greatest gift she's ever been given. And it costs very little. For a little amount of money, we can produce thousands of shoes that could change a life, one child at a time, starting with her.
You know, Betty, you and I walked in areas that weren't even fit for you to be in with shoes on, and saw these beautiful little feet. And you remember we were in Central America, and I prayed. I saw a little girl. I guess maybe her big brown eyes reminded me of our little girls when they were her age, big brown eyes. And I prayed she'd come. She had left. I prayed that little girl come back. And I wanted to sit down and talk to her. And she came back and amazingly sat in my lap. And I just loved her. But we saw children that were in the hospital dying from diseases. They got infections from their feet. And you're holding this beautiful little Christmas
I can assure ornament. You there will be one on our tree this year. I love it. You know, I think about the precious feet of children. You know, when our children were small babies, I just loved to kiss the bottom of their little feet, you know. And I look at these children, and you probably wouldn't want to kiss the bottom of their feet because so many of them do get diseased from all the cuts and all the things that they have to walk through every day of their life. And I think it's so wonderful that we had the opportunity to put shoes on their feet. I look at the small size. We all like the small size. Aren't they cute? They're so cute. But I think if we can start with them this young, then they'll get to be this size without all the disease and the infection. So I hope you will join us. Put a smile on their faces. I love to see the shine on their faces, James, when they smile. It's a gift to them. They don't really realize probably at what depth it's going to help them, but they are happy to have the shoes.
Well, when you give shoes to these little children, and these will last a long time. They've got an adjustable strap so they can actually grow into them and get them a little bit larger than they need initially. And they'll last quite a while. When they see that love coming, and we're able to tell them it came because God put love in our heart, it opens the way for the missionaries. It's indescribable. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. If you give $36, we got 10 pairs of shoes. You give $144, and we got 40 pairs of shoes. We're asking others to consider giving $1,000, and we're going to give smiles for Christmas and shoes. We're going to do cleft palate surgery and other facial surgeries that are desperately needed. So if you can help us, just dial the number, take your bank card, and make the gift God put in your heart. Surely you can give some shoes. It may be that you can give more than we even suggested, but it seems most of you watching could give 10 pairs of shoes, couldn't you? Even children do that. But would you please help us? You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. We're going to send the beautiful Christmas ornament. We'll send the bronze Christian, a missionary rescuing a boy that lived in literally underground in the sewers. And that's an outreach that we've done for children to give them a home, too. But right now, we want you to help us give shoes. I pray you'll go to the phone or go online. Make the gift God puts on your heart.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request our 2013 Christmas shoe ornament. This beautifully crafted, antiqued ornament is a unique reminder of your gift for Christmas shoes, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries. And you may request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Christian, by renowned artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, I like this. You can't beat this. This is top notch in my heart. I tell you what, to be able to put some shoes on these children's feet that will help protect them from all the disease and the harm that comes in their way. Did you know that not only can we put shoes on this little boy's feet and all of it here in the village, but we can do it all around the world if you'll just help us. Isn't that wonderful, an opportunity to be able to do this, something so simple but so needed? Thank you so much.
We are going to send the beautiful little Christmas ornament to all of you for any gift that you make. And I hope if you can give 40 children shoes, you will. If you could help us give shoes and smiles, we're sending the bronze of Christian. This is an actual sculpture of a boy named Christian that lived in the underground sewers along with many other children in Romania. We built him a home. Our daughter held this boy, our oldest daughter did. This happens to be a sculpture of a missionary girl holding the boy. But we gave him a future. Well, we want to give a lot of children shoes, but we also want to give some smiles. So we want to thank you for that. Betty and I want to say thanks to Audrey and to Bob. What a testimony. What a story. The book, Like Yourself, Love Your Life, because it's His life working in us. And if you want to know more about them, you can go on our website. We'll direct you to theirs. But there is their website. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks again to Audrey and to Bob? Thank you both.
Thank you.
The Lord is on you.
Love
you.
The
beauty of the Lord is on you.
Thank you.
Bless God for you.
Thank you.
Thank all of you for watching. Thank you so much for helping us love others.
Right.
Because you see, once we've wrestled with God and lived through it, we can face almost anything.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.